good evening again. Am I on? Okay. Turn with me, if you wish, to Matthew. Matthew 7. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Keep this in mind. He who does the will, who does the will of my Father in heaven. Those who call him Lord, Lord, Lord are not doing the will of the Father in heaven. So we will see. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears those sayings of mine and does them, again, does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears those sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Turn with me to Matthew 24. Because that day that Yeshua mentioned here, Yeshua, by the way, Jesus. I never call him Jesus because his mother never called him Jesus. Okay? His Hebrew name was not Jesus. His Hebrew name was Yeshua, i.e. salvation. So what is the context of, in that day, many will come to me and say, what we read just in Matthew 7, the context, of course, is end times, yeah? Yeshua's second coming. And here, few more words. Let's start at verse 7, okay? You know what, 6? I don't have notes that I followed, so I'm very free to change my mind. Hallelujah. And you will hear the wars of wars and rumors of wars. Do we hear those today? See that you are not troubled, for all of those things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. And if you heard the news just now, we had earthquakes, yeah? Earthquake in Iran, actually, just a few days ago in Iran, and just now I heard in Papua Guinea, or how do you call it? Yeah, I'm sorry for my accent. You will need to improve your English in order to understand every word of mine. Okay. So we hear about those things, right? All those are the beginnings of sorrows. Did you hear it? The beginnings of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation. Oops, we don't like the word tribulation. We do not like the word tribulation. Sorry. Seems like the Bible uses the word in connection with believers. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And if you wish to think that Matthew 24 is just relating to the Jewish people, why do you read it at all? Why not taking a scissor now and take it off your Bible. Why to read most of the book of Revelation if you think it doesn't relate to you? Take a scissor, take it off, throw it, trash it. And then, verse 10, many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. This is not Rami Danieli speaking. This is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness, remember this, depart from me, you, people of lawlessness. And because lawlessness will be abound, the love of many will grow cold. How many of you start to feel how the love of many grow cold just in our own times? I do, but maybe I'm the only strange one here. I'm talking about love within the body of Messiah. I don't expect people outside in the world to love me, by the way. They did not love my master. Why should I be different? Yeah? But amongst the church, yeah? Are you ready for the key? Verse 13. But he, she, for this matter as well, who endures to the end, in Hebrew, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Beloved, if you read, you know, continue to read verse 14, verse 15. Let's read from 15, okay, so you can believe me. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel, etc., etc., so look at me. For sure, the context here speaks about Jerusalem. Right? The abomination of desolation, in, as Daniel prophesied it, was not in Las Vegas. Right? Or Honolulu, Hawaii. It was speaking specifically about the city of Jerusalem. Yes or no? The love of many will be called. And in all this context, many will come to me that day and say in your name, all of this is within the context of Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem is in the focal news and the focal point where everybody, every eyes are pointed to in end time prophecies or end times, actually. Are you with me? Aren't the eyes of most of the world today pointed toward Jerusalem? Why Jerusalem? Why not Rwanda? Why not other places in the world where atrocities are day and night taking place there? Yeah, where there is hunger and famine and people killing each other. Why? Why Jerusalem? Come on. Silly question. Not so silly answer. Because Yeshua is going to reign there. And again, not in Las Vegas or Honolulu. Right? Yeshua is descending, Lord willing, on the Mount of Olives, opposite Jerusalem. Okay, are you still following? I was given 5 hours, so you better stay awake. And I have a watch there, which tells me I have 4 hours and 55 minutes. Oops. This was a warning, thou shall not lie. So please forgive me. I was given only 50 minutes. But it's 5 hours, 50 minutes. Okay, beloved, back to track. So, Jerusalem is the focal point. We agree about it? Good. Now, my beloved, what has it to do with us? What has it to do with us and Israel? About 7,000-8,000 miles away from us. Does it have anything to do with us, or actually when those things will happen, we will be actually snapped away? And I will step on some toes, hot potatoes here, so I will be very careful. Ooh, hot! I kill a holy cow. Beloved, keep your stones till the end of the evening. You can stone me later on. At the rise of your pastor's hand. Now! What has it to do with us if we are going to be snapped away anyway? Rami, why are you wasting our time? Because in my humble opinion, according to my humble understanding of the Bible, we are not going to be snapped away. It is for lack of knowledge that not the world perishes, my people perish, the prophet said. Are you familiar with it? Again, it is for lack of knowledge that my people, says God, the Lord, are perishing, or will perish, or shall perish. So by God's grace, I am nothing, flesh and blood, zero, nothing but nothing, or nothing plus nothing makes nothing. So don't trust me. But trust by God's grace that the Holy Spirit speaks to you through me. Because if the Holy Spirit can use a donkey, he can use Rami, I hope. For the lack of knowledge, my people perish. Beloved, why are all the nations turning their back at Israel, including the United States of America? Wake up. I'm not talking about people like you, dear beloved people of God. But guess what? Out of 300 million in America, about 300 million people, okay, about 60, 70 million are like you, maybe. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about your administration with the head who sits there in the White House now, especially now. But don't blame him. Go back to Jimmy Carter. Go back to George Bush Sr. Why everybody turns their back at Jerusalem, at Israel? Why are all the nations, or why will all nations, including America, maybe led by America, will come and besieged, go and besiege Jerusalem once again? Why? What's the big deal of Jerusalem? What's the big deal with this nation, tiny nation of maybe 5.5 million Jews living now there? And another 20-something% Arabs, 7.5 all together. Why? Why the eyes of the world are turning towards Jerusalem? Why should our eyes turn to Jerusalem? Let me tell you. Actually, let's read it. Matthew 26. I'm sorry, Matthew 27. Okay, verse 24. Matthew 27:24. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, you know against what? Crucify, crucify! But rather that a tumult, well, you know, uprising was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitudes, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Did you listen? They did not know what they are saying, nor what they are doing. Remember Yeshua on the Tzlav? On the Tzlav. Tzlav is Hebrew for cross, sorry. On the cross, Yeshua, forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do. You remember this? Beloved, they did not know. Are you ready for the surprise that in saying so, let his blood be on us and our children, yeah? Dismissing what Pontius Pilate just did, you know, washing his hands. They actually, don't stone me yet. I told you, leave there, leave it for to the end. They took the role of Messiah upon themselves. What? Oof. Well, Pastor, why did you bring this crazy man to tell us that? What? This unrighteous nation, the Jewish, stiff-necked Jews, they take the role of Messiah in this world? Yep. And you know why? Because, and this the church needs to learn, I'm not looking down to you. I have much to learn from you, my brothers and sisters. And you are not second-class citizens. You are equal citizens in the kingdom of God, together with me, your Jewish servant. So I do not look down to you. But the church does need to know the next statements that I'm going to make here. Israel and her Messiah cannot be separated. Never can. Israel and her Messiah are almost synonymous concept in the Bible. Yeshua was the one who said, by two or three witnesses, everything shall be established. Yes or no? Let me give you four. Will it be enough? Who is called God's firstborn long before Messiah was incarnated, came in the flesh? Come on. You know the Bible. Israel. Who else is called God's firstborn? Messiah. Who was called out of Egypt? Israel. Messiah too, right? Who was called to be the light of the nations? And Messiah too, right? Do you see? Who was called God's servant? Eved Adonai in Hebrew. Israel and Messiah too. Do you see the similarities? What Israel did not fulfilled, Messiah took upon himself. He was called out of Egypt. He became the servant of the Lord. He became light to the nations and so on. Are you with me? By the way, what's the name of this nation that I represent now? Israel. You know that this is also Messiah's name? Read Isaiah 49. And you will see that Messiah, one of Messiah's name is Israel. So I gave you five witnesses by which you know that Israel and her Messiah are almost synonymous concept. Are you with me? Beloved, whatever Messiah, whatever Israel could not fulfill or did not fulfill, you know, of their callings by God, Messiah took upon himself. But are you ready for this revelation? Whatever Messiah did in his earthly life, Israel started to follow his footsteps after he was resurrected and ascended to sit by God's right hand side. Let me elaborate on it. In Messiah's earthly 3.5 years ministry, are you with me? There are mainly three stages. Stage number one, the hidden one. H-I-D-D-E-N, to hide something, okay? Are you following? Messiah is hidden from, you know, from the eyes of his people. From zero of age, you know, 1 hour after he was born, all the way to his baptism in the lowest spot on planet Earth, the Dead Sea. This 30, almost 30 years, is hidden. Are you with me? Nobody knows he is the Messiah. Even when he was in the temple in the Gospel of Luke at 12 years of age, nobody, he did not reveal himself as the Messiah, right? He waited till he was a priest, right? Priest age, almost 30. Beloved, this is stage number one, the hidden one. Are you with me? Stage number two is the blessing, what I call the blessing stage. Messiah starts his ministry, and whatever he does, however he speaks, he brings life. He touched the leper. He speaks a word, and the blind gets healed. Remember? He is a blessing. He attracts the multitudes. Multitudes are in love with him. But are you ready for stage number three? It happened in Matthew 16. Soon we are going to read it. When Messiah makes 180 degrees turn and he starts stage number three in his life, which includes the following: walking to Jerusalem, being mocked, spitted on, beaten, crucified, being dead, buried for 3 days and three nights, resurrected and ascended. This is all included in number three stage. Are you with me? Okay, are you ready for the surprise? I told you about the similarities between Messiah and his nation, Israel. Told you it's almost synonymous, right? Shortly after Messiah ascended to his father in heaven, the temple was destroyed. And Israel, the nation, starts stage number one. The hidden one. They are hidden. No government, no king, no nothing. No administration. Who are the Jews? They are dispersed all over the world. Are you with me? Stage number two is with modern Zionism. When they started to move, God, of course, brings them back from the four corners of the earth, back to their homeland, ancient homeland, Israel, which was back then a swampy land. Nothing lived there. I mean, nothing could live. I mean, besides few Arab tribes and few Jewish families. Yeah, it was so swampy. It was full of diseases like malaria and others. And here they come. Remember what was stage number two? Blessing. They revive this dead land. They flourish it. They bloom it. And not only this, they don't bless only the land, the neglected land. Till then, they start to bless whomever comes in touch with them, including the United States of America. Till today, Israeli scientists, Israeli high-tech men are desired, wanted in, let's say, in the Silicon Valley in California. Israeli doctors are desired everywhere. Kings of enemy countries to Israel are coming under the carpets, you know, hidden, to get treatment in Jerusalem Hadassah Hospital. Did you know it? Statistically, more Jews received Nobel Prize than anybody else. Did you know it? What about the vaccine against malaria? Israelis. I mean, Jewish people, yeah? What about psychology? The Jewish people. Every place they touch, they bless. They are a blessing. Are you with me? But what about stage number three? It's a must. It must take place, you understand? And now they are pushed to Jerusalem. This is the big picture you see, you're following. Without knowing it, they are following their own Messiah footsteps. They don't believe in him. They rejected him. But guess what? God's word must be fulfilled. They are walking towards Jerusalem, so to speak. And they are pushed. What will be the point which will cause the war? Jerusalem. God's place, right? As they shouted at their own Messiah, crucify, crucify. Now the nation's turn comes to shout at Israel, crucify, crucify. Let's get rid of this nation. Are you with me? But guess what? As Messiah did not stay on the cross, right? Was he? Or in the grave? So Israel will not stay. Israel will be resurrected. Minority, as usually. They will be resurrected and united with the Messiah, which will descend on the Mount of Olives. You see, the end is wonderful. But before the end, before the resurrection, death must take place. Yes or no? How many have something to do to the medical, profession? You know, nurses, doctors, do we have? How many know that in order to, oh God, help me with this word, I never can say it right, resuscitate somebody, he needs to be dead first, right? Otherwise, no need to revive him, yeah? I mean, simple. A child 2 years old can understand it. In order to resuscitate, to revive this church must admit that it's dead. I don't say you are dead. You are dead. You know what I mean? But all the churches, revive, revive, we want revival. But you are not humble enough to understand that you are actually dead. Okay? Now, my beloved, what all of this has to do with us sitting here today? And I still have 15, 20 minutes, brother? Good. What has it to do? Even if I wouldn't, I would take no. What is all that I talked about? Are you still awake? What has it to do with us? Okay, Rami, you talked so far about the end times, right? How Israel follows without knowing it, their Messiah footsteps, right? How they are pushed by the nations who shout, crucify, crucify, right? I mean, we know the picture now. We understand. Now we understand why nothing makes sense. The flotilla, yeah? The Gaza, when Israel struck against the Hamas terrorists, you know, who kept launching the rockets, the Qassam rockets, for 8 long years. And Israel eventually goes in, and all the world blames Israel for war crimes. Doesn't make sense. You agree with me? No, you don't agree with me. You know why? Because now you know the picture. And you say, oh, it makes sense biblically. Because Israel must be crucified. Are you with me? Because Israel follows Messiah's footsteps. Okay, how it concerns us. As Messiah had three stages in his life, surprise! We also need to, as followers in his footsteps, have the three steps. No shortcuts. I don't know another gospel, sorry. When I read the New Testament the first time, I was not, my upbringing was a Jew. I'm a Jew still, very much so. Okay? I even look like a Jew. Look at my nose. My beloved, my upbringing was not Calvary Chapel, which I really respect. I know Chuck Smith personally. And not a Pentecostal Baptist, even Southern or Northern or Middle one. I am a Jew. And when I read the New Testament, I read it with complete blank background. You see what I mean? I read the gospel for the first time in my life. I was not indoctrinated. The biggest danger of going to a theological seminar, in my humble opinion, you don't need to agree with anything I say, is that you are getting, without knowing it, indoctrinated. And you have a hard time to accept other views. Let's not put God in the PhD box. He will jump out because God is above, far above our PhD mindset. Beloved, so I read the gospel, and the gospel that I read still has three stages. It's not McDonald's fix, sinner prayer and hallelujah, garden of smelly good roses awaits for us, and a Cadillac, of course, and blessing, and a well-paid job. This is not the gospel that I read. Excuse me? Paul was martyred? Ooh. All the disciples were killed? Ooh. Yeshua did not have a place to put his head on, and he did not have, sometimes he was so hungry that he cursed the fig tree. Wow, Yeshua did not believe in the prosperity gospel for sure. He did not have enough faith. Today's gospel is a different gospel, beloved. And you better choose to believe in the right, correct gospel, because only one gospel will bring you to heaven. Only one road leads to Rome. Sorry, Rome, to Jerusalem. Beloved, what has it to do with us? As Yeshua had three stages, almost everything is divided into three in the Bible, did you know? Triune. As Yeshua had three stages, as Israel now following is in Messiah's footsteps, so we followers of Messiah must follow his footsteps fully. The one who endures till the end shall be saved. So I tell you, brothers and sisters, work your salvation with fear and trembling. And I tell you, brothers, and I always, I'm quoting, paraphrasing Paul, if you didn't notice, yeah? That those fornicators, those liars, those thieves will not inherit the kingdom of God, even if they say the sinner prayer 2,000 times in their lives. Three stages. And guess what? Number three stage starts in Matthew 16. Quickly to Matthew 16, please. And we will end there. Aren't you happy? Matthew 16. Verse 13. When Yeshua came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? That I am. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Yeshua answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven, and you know the rest. Now, my beloved, I guide many groups to Israel, part of which, or one of which, two of which were dear Pat and Roger, you know. And you agree with me that most of the preachers will teach this very passage in a place called Banias or Caesarea Philippi. Banias, an Arab corruption of the original in Yeshua's name, Yeshua's time, or pre-Yeshua's time name, Panias, P-A-N-I-S, I-A-S, yeah, after the worship of the god of Pan. That's where we have the word to panic, okay? Panias became Banias later on. It's at the foot of Mount Hermon, okay? Beloved, listen carefully. It's only there, very interesting, at the worshiping place of the god of panic, god of fear, that Yeshua asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And then, who do you say? Challenges them with this question. Most pastors which go with me, and I give the dry blah blah, as I like to say, no, this rock is 12,000 years old, and this, you know, blah 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 blah, and then the pastor takes over, right? With the Bible. He teaches the Bible. Most pastors, I don't say it against them, but I do say that they are ignorant. Like I'm ignorant in many other fields. Things like, I need them, they need me, sorry, this is life. But most pastors will stop at Peter's confession. Hallelujah! And they will ask their people, what do you say? Who Yeshua is? And all the people say, the tourists say, Yeshua is the son, the Messiah, the son of the living God. You know, it's confession. And he will say, hallelujah, praise God. Like it's a abracadabra dogmatic phrase that we can be saved by this, yeah? And okay, you have 10 minutes, go take pictures and be back on the bus. This is not okay because it takes this very confession out of its context. Are you with me? What is the context? You know how relators are saying location, location, location. Bible teachers always need to say context, context, context. Don't pick and choose. Listen very carefully to the context in verse 21. From that time, which time? Peter's confession. Are you with me? From that time that Peter made this confession, Yeshua began to show his disciples that he must, the word is must, it's not an option, go to Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. Now to the funniest scripture. Verse in scriptures, in my humble opinion. How many of you have been to Israel? Wow. Hallelujah. Good, good. How many noticed that culturally the Israelis are a bit different than you? Look at me and you know. We don't have much manners. We are not as polite as westernized. And by the way, I don't say it in pride. I think that we need to learn a lot from you, you know, manners and all this, okay? I don't look down to you. I'm the opposite. I need you to improve me, yeah? But Israelis are rude. Why? Don't, by the way, like I don't look down to you, you now don't look down to them and say, oh, just stiff-necked people. Let's see you. 1 month, living 1 month in Israel with me, you will see it all. It is all about survival. They are rude because this is the life. This is the, you know, this is life there. So we can understand. I have more mercy. God has mercy on them. Now, beloved, why am I blah blah blahing about the Israeli culture? Yeah? Because Peter was an Israelite. Did you notice it? Yeshua was an Israelite. He did not live in Dallas, Texas. It was not a westernized. Are you with me? Funniest verse in the entire scriptures. Why do I call it? Because when Israelis hear the word rebuke, ge'ara in Hebrew, we know what it means. Do you really think that Yeshua, when he rebuked the Pharisees, those hypocrites, that he put a nice Sunday smile? Or should I say Shabbat smile, Saturday smile, yeah? And he said, can I pick up on you? He says, excuse me, Pastor. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I mean, you are like a viper. Sorry, I did not want to hurt your feelings. Please. Ridiculous. Yeshua came to him and said, you viper, you repent. This is rebuke. You understand? This is Israeli culture. I mean, you are up front, no polite, no manners. You are mad for God. You see what I mean? For the right cause. You repent. Why do I call this verse the funniest verse? Because Peter takes his master, who just quietened the sea storm, who healed the blind, and he rebukes him. Peter rebukes the master, not the opposite. That's why I call it the funniest. Look at it. In verse 22. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, look at me, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Yeshua turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. You remember? At that day, many will come to me and say, in your name we did this. In your name. Remember? And he will tell them, can I see your ID? Can I see your passport? I don't know you. Right? Beloved, this is the same context, because this is where, from that time, Yeshua makes a turn to number three stage in his life. Do you see what I mean? I'm like a flint focusing at Jerusalem. Never mind the cost. Because God is calling me to fulfill my calling. Bam, 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 bam. Who is the offense to Yeshua? One who is not mindful to the things of God, which means part, an integral part of the gospel of salvation through Yeshua Mashiach blood, is suffering crucifixion. Woo! But we were not taught like this. Okay. So now you are taught differently. Wait it. Go home. Close yourself in the closet. Pray, fast, and if I'm wrong, please rebuke me. The gospel that I read about has three stages. If you want to be called by God, by Yeshua, or that Yeshua will tell you at that day, get behind me, Satan, stop at Caesarea Philippi. Continue to get panicking from everything around you. Oh, wow! Oh, another earthquake! Oh, shall we store this? Shall we store this? Oh, shall we run to the desert? Excuse me, whom are you worshipping? The God of Pan? Or Yeshua Mashiach? You just confessed, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Show it to me. It's not a dogmatic exclamation. You need to now live by what you just said. Walk with me to Jerusalem. If you do not believe that I'm speaking the truth, beloved, let's read the context. Context, context, context. Verse 4. Yeshua said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, I want a show of hands here. How many desire, honestly now? You know, I want a show of hands for two questions. Let's start with question number one. Who of you believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Who of you wants to follow him? No shortcuts. Whoever wants to follow me, let him take up his cross and follow me, which means turn his face, her face toward Jerusalem. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it, etc., etc. Beloved, I don't know which gospel is preached in this church. I don't know if I will ever be invited again. I'm dead serious. This is not at all the issue, because the issue is not Rami Danieli. The issue is my boss in heaven. And I give account to him. We need to start believing the real gospel. And the real gospel has three stages, like our forefathers Israel had three stages in their story of salvation out of Egypt. They applied the blood of the Lamb of Passover, remember? They were baptized into Moses and into the cloud, you remember? Red Sea. Were they saved then? No! Because salvation ends only when you are in the promised land. They needed to walk a life walk in the desert. They needed to fight the heights in the promised land. And only then they arrived to the rest together with their God in Jerusalem. You see what I mean? Resurrection and death to self, and death to self and resurrection can only happen in Jerusalem. Are you ready, beloved people, to take up the cross and believe the real gospel, which means, yes, salvation is free, but there is a cost to finish it. I am so in love with my Lord Yeshua, like those songs. I love him so much because of what he did for me. I am ready to give my own life. Love one another, I tell you. This is a new commandment. Really? It wasn't so new. It was new in the sense, like I loved you, which means with a willingness to give your own life for one another. How much more he is worthy of our calling, right? I mean, the opposite, yeah? He is worthy of us going with him to Jerusalem. How many of us today are ready to commit our lives once again, turn our face to Jerusalem, to our brothers and sisters 10,000 miles away here? And you know why they are your brothers and sisters, beloved? Because the church is inseparable from Israel. The church is not the second wife of God. God is not into bigamy. God was never into bigamy. God was always into one husband, one wife. And this wife is called Israel. Welcome to the club. You have been grafted as Gentiles to an existing body called Israel. So what makes you think that the fate of Israel is different than yours? This is a different gospel, beloved. Be careful. Welcome to Israel. Read Ephesians for God's sake. Ephesians 2, 3. With the blessings come also the responsibilities. The gospel is not only about blessings. The gospel is also about self-sacrificial deeds towards Yeshua. Gospel is taking the cross daily and die to self, because self will not bring you to the kingdom. Only the new man will bring you in. Amen. Thank you so much for your patience.